Hierdie inset sal word aan jou gebring deur Radio Kaapse Kansel op 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.kaapsekansel.co.za.
Goeiedag en baie welkom weer eens by die program Markplek Ambassadeurs, die program van CBMC Suid-Afrika hier op Radio Kaapse Kansel. Ek is Harm Engelbrecht en dit is my voorreg om vandag weer met julle te gesels en ook weer 'n slag 'n gas in die ateljee te hê. Ons het lanklaas 'n gas gehad, maar dit is vir my lekker om weer te gesels met 'n ou bekende, iemand wat ons al voorheen gehad het en wat oor 'n paar ander dinge gesels het. En vandag wil ons verder praat oor 'n volgende boek wat hy geskryf het. En sy naam is Tim Tucker. Tim is daai Engelsman wat Afrikaans baie goed kan praat, so ons gaan maar met hom met Engels praat. So Tim, welcome once again.
Thanks, Harm. Good to see you. And yeah, my children just laugh at me if I try to speak Afrikaans, so you'll have to excuse me.
Tim, we will never laugh at anyone who tries to speak Afrikaans, because we don't expect them to laugh at us when we speak English. So, Tim, we'll do our best. But Tim, it's been more than a year since we've chatted, and it's been a year that's gone, that's been, yeah, that we experienced that was actually something, obviously, that we didn't plan. Mm. Who planned the virus and who planned lockdown and all these things. We know that God knew about this many years ago, but we didn't know what to expect. So it was something very new to all of us. But you also experienced something that was unplanned. Mm. You also experienced something that totally caught you off guard. Mm. And I want you to share with us a little bit about that story. And then how the book came about, and then we will touch on a few things that you write about in your book, and also about the video series that you just brought out on YouTube. Mm. And then we will ask the guys and the listeners, obviously, to go and listen there.
Sure.
So do you want to share with us a little bit, firstly, about Tim, who you are, and then we can go into the story.
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Harm. I think, I've been living in South Africa now since 1998. This year, I think now more than half of my life lived in South Africa. I was a youth pastor, moved over here in 1998, did youth ministry for a few years at Kenilworth Presbyterian Church, then spent about 12 years in sports ministry. And so very much working with young people, finding effective ways to reach them with the gospel and provide them a platform to flourish in life. That's my heart and my passion. And for the last 7 years, that's been with a ministry called the Message Trust, based out of Mowbray, Cape Town. But we work across the Cape Flats in tough neighborhoods. And we really want to provide an environment for young people caught up in destructive life cycles and kind of victims of being caught up in poverty, gang-infested communities, crime. We want to provide them, firstly, an opportunity to find a relationship with Jesus, to find restoration, but then to find their purpose and mission in life through serving Christ, becoming productive members of society, their local church, and raising families. So that's really our heartbeat, and that's my heartbeat. And as the Message Trust, we do that through a number of ways. We have direct mission work that we do in schools, and well, obviously not so much in schools the past year, but with young people and now online in various ways that we can find ways to express the gospel in language young people can understand, to connect them with local churches, etc. We have a whole department based on working with ex-offenders, trying to help young people caught up in crime and gang activity to have a fresh start in life. And that goes right through from in prison, released from prison, right through into employment in our gangstar cafes. And then our third thing that we do is really involved in community development. So we try and devolve what we do into communities so that we have what we call our community hubs in Nyanga and Parkwood and some tough communities where we raise up missional volunteers who will serve in those communities long term. So that's my heartbeat, raising up transformational leaders. When I've chatted to you before, we've talked about servant leadership. We've talked about some of the things that are really what we feel are the biblical framework that Christ has given us that we want to imbibe through the ministry that we do. So that's a little bit about who I am. But then in 2016, as you mentioned, my life was turned upside down in a moment, really. I've already mentioned I came to South Africa in 1998. Not only did I fall in love with the country, of South Africa, but I also fell in love with a young lady who was South African. And in 2000, we got married. Laura and I were married for 16 years, had three children, and really shared a passion for ministry and working with underprivileged people. That's what we shared together. But then in 2016, we're actually on holiday in Georgia at Carmel Guest Farm, and Laura had been suffering for a couple of months with bad headaches, had one hospitalization, but there was nothing really that prepared us for what happened. And it was the second day of our holiday there. My brother and his family were over from the UK. We'd spent a perfect day on the beach on the 16th of August 2016. But then the next day, as I returned from the shops, my sister-in-law met me and said, Laura's had some kind of attack, some kind of episode. And we rushed her to the hospital. By the time we got to the hospital, she passed out. And literally within 24 hours, I was having to have the conversation with the doctors about turning off the, actually less than 24 hours, the life support machines. And she'd had a brain aneurysm, and it triggered, and she was not to recover from it. And I remember that night sat by her hospital bed as I was sat there trying to get my head around. You know, I was in deep grief, in shock, trying to figure out what does this future look like, you know, with my kids now without their mum, and everything just seemed a confused mess. It was an uninvited, you know, interruption into my life that completely changed the trajectory of my life. But I said to the Lord by the bedside, I said, God, everything I've believed since childhood, and I've had the privilege of knowing Jesus, being raised in a Christian family since a young boy, having a close relationship with Jesus. But I said, everything I've believed since childhood had better be true. You know, I need it to be true now more than ever. And so that was really my journey, the start of this journey that I describe of grief and grace, you know. And when I wrote the book in 2000, and I released the book, I think, in 2019, it chronicles really the 6 month period, a little bit around the story of what happened with Laura's passing and the events that transpired around that time. But then the 6 month period where I experienced deep grief, but at the same time, experienced the grace of God in ways that I would never have imagined. And so that's really the story as it unfolded and how God has led me over this past 4 or 5 years. I say, you know, grief is not something you get over. It's something you continue to work through. And as I've continued to work through it, I've also had the privilege of being able to share what God has been doing in my own life to try and provide encouragement and hope to others.
Tim, you mentioned a lot of things, and a few questions popped into my head. And the first thing I want to ask you is the reaction of your kids. You had three small children at that stage.
Yeah.
Well, not so small. One was a bit smaller than the rest. But you had to carry on as a single parent, and not only look after the kids, but also encourage them, also help them to understand what's going on. How difficult was that process for you?
Yeah, I mean, extremely difficult. So my youngest was 8 years old, and then my middle born was 11, and my oldest was 13. So still quite young, you know. And Laura had been homeschooling them, so she was incredibly involved in their lives, you know. You know, one thing I was able to say to them is I said, you know, you've actually had more quality time with your mum than many children do in a lifetime, you know. So we've got to be grateful, you know, for the investment she made. And I often say they're their mother's children. I see so much of her in them every day. But, you know, children respond. I mean, firstly, they're incredibly resilient. And in some ways, I learned a lot from them and their faith in this and how God spoke to each of them individually. But as they've got older, the way they've expressed their grief and their understanding has meant that they go through different phases of grief. And one thing I do say is I don't try and tell their story. You know, one the time is going to come when they will be able to tell their own story and articulate it. And I'll probably get some surprises at that point. But I know one thing they've expressed to me is one of the things they found hardest was seeing my grief as well, you know. And so, you know, we were in it together. You know, I started calling us at that point, Team Tucker, you know, me and the three kids as a single dad trying to find an identity for us together. And I said, we're Team Tucker and we're going to get through this together, one step at a time. And I think, you know, in one way, the children, it reminded me of the pain of what we're lost. But on the other angle, they were actually a tremendous means of grace because it gave me a purpose. You know, I had to get through each day because the children needed me, you know, and our relationship, I think, really strengthened in those years. And so that was an incredible blessing. I adapted the phrase. You remember the bracelets we used to wear in the 90s that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, I changed it to WWLD, what would Laura do, to help me understand and think, how do I now raise the children? You know, how do I provide continuity and stability for them? And there was a lot of change for them. But I think, yeah, they were definitely a means of grace to me, and a blessing, and obviously continue to be so. But yeah, I saw God sustain them. I saw God strengthen us through that time and help them, which was incredibly encouraging. I mean, one very quick story. Even in the hospital, and again, this is a means of grace. Even in the hospital, the nurse who was helping me and Laura and tending to Laura while she was unconscious and talking to me through the night shift, she told me, she said, you know, she had just married a man who was a widower and had children. And she said to me, you will be amazed at how your children have a gravitas to their character because of what they've been through, you know, and in some ways it wasn't easy at the time for me to hear that, because I didn't want to think of them going through the pain in order to get that character. But I thought back to that moment and the very fact that there was a woman who was there, caring for Laura, who understood also what I was going through to some measure and able to give me that comfort around the children. And I've seen that come through. I've seen that bear out over the last 4 or 5 years that, you know, there is a gravitas to their character that God has formed because of the resilience they've shown as they've continued to go through this.
And obviously by being a close-knit family and doing things together, it also helped you. And you spent much more time alone with the kids then.
Yeah.
I remember in one of the, you know, video series you talk about you went surfing with the kids actually.
Yeah, yeah. And that was it. I think, again, I was blessed in that the ministry, understanding the circumstances, the chairman of my board immediately said to me, this was August it happened. He said to me, you know, you're free until January to care for the kids. You need to find schools for them. You know, so I was only involved at a very high level, board meetings and a few other things. Actually, at the time, I was also studying to complete my PhD. So I took that as a distraction for myself, got through that. And the day-to-day operations of the work were handled by my leadership team, which gave me the freedom. Again, it was a means of grace to really focus on the kids, to work out the future with them, what that was going to look like. And like you said, spend time, do the things. You know, daddy homeschool looked a lot different than mummy homeschool. And I joked with them that it involved sports of going surfing, media studies, going to the movies, you know, food studies, going out and eating takeaways. But it was, that was part of the bonding experience of that moment. And that was precious.
Tim, will you say that your relationship with your kids strengthened and is different now than it was in 2016?
Oh, definitely. I mean, obviously, it's so difficult to tell, you know, I can't on parallel tracks know what it would have been like, you know, if Laura had still been around. But one thing the kids expressed back to me was that their relationship with me changed. And again, one example, we were watching a movie together, a Christian film. The names escaped me now. But in this movie, there's this evolutionary academic who is a very broken man, but very anti-Christian. And then it turns out that the reason he's so anti-Christian is that he had lost his mother to cancer when he was a child. Fictitious story. But I watched this with the kids. Someone recommended we watch this film. And I was watching it, saying, how are they going to relate to this, you know? And I said to my boys after the film, we watched it just with the older two boys. I said, well, how did you find, you know, that man, the fact that he got so bitter to God when he lost his mum, how come you guys are not so bitter? And they said to me, well, he can't have had a dad who helped them through this the way that you have helped us through this. And so again, you know, sometimes you've got to hear it back from the mouths of babes to actually appreciate what God is doing. So that was a special moment for me as well, just an encouragement at that time.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Tim, you mentioned in your book about the grief process, and that it's actually still an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Just take us briefly through the phases. They always say there are phases in the grieving process of acceptance and all these things. How did you experience that?
So, yeah, I've been very careful in when I share. I get a chance to share a lot about my story now and talk to numerous people individually in front of people that my grief process isn't a recipe for someone else to follow. It's rather a testimony of saying that God can still work with you and help you through your grief and to provide hope. So I'm a little bit cautious about the phases of grief. Yes, I identify them, the bargaining, the denial, or the anger. And I think, you know, I can see that I had each of those emotions and more, you know, during the time. And my process was, you know, I talk about life in slow motion. I talk about, you know, survival, and certain, I use other language, but I mean, it's probably the same thing. But my point is that in any one day, if someone who's in deep grief can experience those things in any given day. You know, you might wake up in the morning, the sun's shining, you're thinking, oh, God's with me. You know, a couple of hours later, you get something that reminds you of your lost loved one, and suddenly you're feeling angry and alone again, you know. And so it's, I find it's not sequential in that sense, but rather you've got to say, you know, in the process of grief, there's going to be a whole gambit of emotions. So how do you allow God into that at any given time? And so those were some of the lessons I learned out of it, was, you know, how we relate to gratitude, how we form good memories, how we look, you know, how we, the new abnormal, how we find new language to express what we're going through. So those were some of the things that helped me. But again, it's not meant to be a recipe. It's meant to be, this is my story of God's grace. And other people are going through deep grief or loss of any kind. It could be loss of a job. It could be coronavirus issues. It could be a divorce. But in those moments, how are you finding a language to express with God what you're going through?
So it's like a roller coaster ride. It's not like a on a track that you can say, okay, it's moving in one direction the whole time.
Yeah.
But during this process, you could also rely on support from people around you, not only from your family, also from the wider community and from your people at the Message Trust and I'm sure from your co-workers. So how important was that for you to know that you have support, physical support from people around you to help you through this?
Yeah, definitely. And again, that was one of the means of grace that I identified. And I suppose as a Christian, I struggle on two levels as to how people who don't have faith in Jesus cope with grief. The first is obviously the hope of eternal life that we have. And so a different perspective on death is critical in order to, you know, that for Laura, this wasn't the end. It was a new beginning, you know, for eternity. And that was the hope in Jesus that she had. So how people who don't have that hope face this deep loss is beyond me. And the second thing is Christian community. And church and relationships. And so for us, our church, in Observatory Jubilee Community Church, our friends, and like you mentioned, colleagues at the Message, people standing in the gap. And, you know, it became a joke with me and the kids again for about 2 months. Meals were provided for us and different people dropping them off. And literally some people would come in and they'd be so overwhelmed with empathy for us that they couldn't speak. They would just cry, leave the food and then go. But for us as the family, we were like, well, you know, we've now had lasagna for 2 weeks in a row, but it's an expression of God's love and God's grace that he calls us into community. And so as Christians, you know, again, when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, we need that fellowship. We need the Christian community. And that is a wonderful means of grace.
Tim, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure talking to you today about this topic, about grief and grace. Next week, we're going to take this further. And we are going to dig a bit deeper into the process and also things that you experienced, lessons you learned also from the Bible. And I wanna thank you for being so bold and through this vulnerability, still be able to be here and share this story with us. And we know it's because of God's love and God's grace in your life that you can do this. And we appreciate it, and we really do. Luisteraars, dit is ons storie vir vandag. Ek moet julle groet hier van Radio Kaapse Kansel. Ons gesels volgende week verder met Tim Takker. Tot dan, tot ziens.
Hierdie insetsel is aan jou gebring deur Radio Kaapse Kansel op 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus op www.kaapsekansel.co.za.